All right, welcome everyone to a special Cancel the Cabal. It's just a recording. I have I have an old friend, Brenda Kressler, on, and she has a story she wants to tell. So welcome to the show, Brenda. Let's get into this.
Well, thanks, Stephen. I'm glad I'm here.
What's your story? I know that your husband was murdered. He died in a hospital.
Yes. It looks like from everything, I won the case with Social Security Disability. We were fighting for 2 years. And it was sitting on a judge's desk when it happened and was with disability lawyers. The caseworker that we got when my husband found out that he possibly had cancer, we went to the Social Security Administration in Muskogee, Oklahoma, and he applied for his disability. When he did that, the first day we didn't know anything, but the second time that we did, he told us that first started with me, I owed $8,000 on a home that was not in my name. The state of Arizona would not recognize our marriage. We had a confidential marriage from California, and they wouldn't recognize it. So I went through the humiliation when he bought the home and not even having my name on our home. From there, he said that by him getting disability, that it would be the same thing as collecting welfare. And he said, well, that's funny. I thought I paid into it all my life. He was a commercial electrician, and he made very good money. The next thing she did, I asked her on the third, are you talking about you're going to take our medical and all our insurance? She goes, yes, that's right, I am. Well, we asked her to bring in a witness, her supervisor or somebody to witness what was taking place in our conversation. She would not, however, she'd leave the room, come back 10 minutes later and sit there like she made her point that she's not calling anyone in. She took my husband's paper that it showed his credit from all the time that he worked for disability that he earned it. And on the left side, it had both numbers that said 5000. I don't know what that means, but I'm waiting for a response from the judge. She, however, we were already signed up. Dave's surgery was going to take place. They did a lot of vacations, taking time off and everything, prolonging. My husband was losing a lot of weight and fat. It went into the Oklahoma Health Authority. They pulled strings after my husband was taken care of, everything set up for the surgery. A lot of things happened with our primary care doctor. He was pressured into being involved, where I believe he helped Dr. Fisher during the surgery. The Oklahoma Health Authority came in and they kept pulling Medicaid. When we were up to the last and leaving after they butchered my husband, they said that it was a money factor. They didn't tell us that our Medicaid had been canceled. It had been canceled a few times. And the Sooner Care that they offer for Medicaid in Oklahoma. We got to the hospice thing after they tried to kill my husband probably 5 or 6 times. I can't count even. I lived from the hospital to the car for a month. When they pulled it, I ate 1 meal a day. The doctor paid for $10 for 9 days. The rest of the time, I did not eat. I grabbed crackers and a few drinks that I could get. They were supposed to have all that set up. However, the hospital's a 5-star hospital. It's for movie stars. They turned around and they set up a hospice because the money factor was there. No one was paying for anything. They got him in hospice, sent him home, and tried to get me to be the one that took my husband's life by his medication. However, they didn't know that I took nursing, so I have guilt. They turned around and they removed, the doctor told me he removed half of David's pancreas. And that they did 2 surgeries. They put him on a ventilator twice using fentanyl at the same time. They turned around and they sent him home with their hospice. And what they did when they did it, they gave us all broken down equipment and everything. So we decided we were leaving the state. We left our home and our belongings and we came to West Virginia. And then we got involved. They had Medicaid fraud here as well. They got into the Beckley Health Care Center and they tried to take his life many times here. He missed all his chemo appointments. We found Medicaid fraud through the whole case. Everything's proven. I have the case in my hands. I'm waiting for the attorney generals to respond, either in both states. And I have it, they're being investigated right now. The Charleston DAMC, West Virginia Memorial Hospital in Charleston. The Oklahoma health authorities are being investigated, as well as the Oklahoma Surgical Hospital and the caseworker. I don't know her name yet. Everything that I say is the truth. My husband was put to sleep. They killed him. He's laying in a morgue right now waiting for a toxicology and an autopsy. The problem is they don't want to show that they murdered my husband. I watched them murder my husband. I did not know it was the end of life drug. I thought it was for pain. My husband never had pain. He even told the cancer doctor he was in no pain at all. They put him to sleep within about 2.5 to 3 hours. He was dead.
Hey, Brenda.
I have pictures. I have videos. I have everything that I need. Okay, Stephen.
You said they put him on fentanyl. Why did they do that?
That's a lot.
Why did they put him on fentanyl?
They put him on fentanyl. He was also on, when he went in the first surgery, they used a ventilator. Something happened, and I think it was fentanyl they used with the anesthesia, because that's like a thing they're trying now. Well, I woke up to them shoving a ventilator down his throat, and he grabbed me by my shirt, and he told me, I heard him say, they're going to kill me. They're trying to kill me. Dr. Fisher, Kevin T. Fisher, was standing at the end of the bed. He grabbed my arm and pulled me out of my husband's grasp, pulled me out of the room into the waiting room, and told me to be back. He's going in to save my husband's life. Dr. Kevin T. Fisher is a glorified chiropractor. He's getting his experience as he goes, and he's practicing on people. He's now using, I think, our primary care doctor because of the pressure of losing his career. He would had no choice but to join him. The hospital has only showed they do bones, joints, colonoscopies, nothing even remotely close to a Whipple procedure, which is what they were supposed to have been doing with my husband. They pulled him in the second surgery. They used the ventilator again. They opened him up twice, knowing he had pancreatic cancer. When he came out, they did first the ventilator down him and everything. When I noticed the ventilator and the fentanyl monitor, I confronted the male nurse. He responded with anger, and he was going to pull the fentanyl off, and I said, no, wait, let's talk. So I confronted him, which I have pictures my daughter took of it. They did take him off the fentanyl because he wasn't breathing. They were trying to smother him. That's what I think, basically smother him. When they put him to sleep this time, they told me it was just for pain. And they went out and shut the door, and he died. I had a criminal lawyer in Canada who's a good friend of mine. And I had my nephew and my brother on the phone all watched my husband die. I don't know if all of them seen the injection. However, I did. And I got pictures of the monitor as well.
Do you know, was your husband a organ donor?
Dr. Fisher, Kevin T. Fisher in Oklahoma.
Brenda, do you know if he was do you know if your husband was an organ donor?
What did he say? Help me, Billy. What did he say? I can't hear you if you don't help.
Was he an organ donor?
What did he say one more time?
Was he an organ donor?
Go ahead. Would say that to Lily. She's helping me.
Was he an organ donor?
An organ donor.
No, he was not.
Okay.
He was not. I didn't put him as an old organ donor because we've read some stuff about a lot of people that go down like that.
Yeah,
they're still alive. So.
They murder a lot of people that are organ donors, take their organs and sell them on the black market.
No, he wasn't an organ donor. He went out with me helping him. That's it.
Well, that's good.
Why
do you think they did? Why do you think they did this?
Why do I think they did this?
Yes.
Because the way it was done, we had already talked to Hawk. My husband was awake. I have pictures of him talking to me and everything. He was awake. When they did this, Hawk just came in and they evaluated him, as well as they did all the tests that they needed to find out how far along and how much time he had to live. They told me he had 6 months or more long term. And right after that, they pulled the DNR, the do not resuscitate, because we wouldn't sign it. We would not agree to it. David wanted to be resuscitated. They pulled the DNR from the social worker in Oklahoma, DNR, which my husband did not agree to. The social worker there is the one made me and my daughter leave the room when she did this interview with my husband. He said he wanted to be resuscitated. He put he did not. None of us signed anything. That tells me one thing. The other thing is they used it at the hospital. I see it. They're using it right now because they know they did. Nobody's wanting to take and do the autopsy. They were supposed to do it before he left the hospital. They did not. That tells me that there's something wrong. Medicaid is involved. Well, I think Kevin T. Fisher, as well as the caseworker, is also involved because they pulled Medicaid here. They found us through Medicaid. They pulled his Medicaid a few times here. I've got threat letters. I've got a few things. And they're involved. I don't know what kind of offer they got, but this hospital, Beckley Healthcare Center, nursing home, has got a lot against them. So they're also being investigated, but there's Medicaid fraud. There's no doubt it's Medicaid fraud. And it's big too. It's two states.
Yes, but my question is, why are they doing this? That's what I don't understand.
There was something I wanted to mention. Yeah, they're using that, as I think, to their benefit. The judge has everything. They followed the case all the way through. They've seen the malpractice taking place, as I was in touch with a paralegal at the time for the disability firm and that we hired, and she went through it with me. Well, three letters went out to the Oklahoma Health Authority by accident. They were supposed to have gone. I sent them to the Oklahoma Health Authority. They were supposed to go to the attorney. Well, I notified the paralegal and told her where they went. Right away, she got on it and everything. And because the judge had been following, he seen the malpractice take place and everything. As well as the attorney, they sent everything that I was writing to them, everything that I was emailing to them and calling them, went to the judge. So I won the case. I'm waiting for the paperwork, everything that, because we are fighting for the Social Security disability, the money that gave settlement. And all of this came in. And it starts with the caseworker. So the judge seeing the corruption, he's seeing what we're up against. He told me I won the case, the lawyers did. Now it's going after them, however. I've been warned by an attorney I got a hold of for a couple that was involved in a Fisher case where her husband died, and then she just passed away last year at my age. And this case, she lost the case, but Fisher was involved in everything in this case, and he's wanted for negligence. I mean, mine I think is the worst one I've seen online. I can't find many, but there, all the stuff goes to this doctor who kills for the state, period. That's it. He's involved in the ownership of the hospital and everything. I had a piece of evidence. I'm trying to think what it was. I wrote it down, and this evidence is the Oklahoma Health Authority and Dave Surgery, and all three letters were sent by accident. Okay, let me see. They got it dismissed in the court hearing. They tried to overdose me. I signed the contract with the state of Oklahoma. I wouldn't do any pain medications because they had me on Ativan because I have cyclic vomiting syndrome and it's real bad. However, they tried to stop the drug testing, which my doctor, kept the drug testing up and everything. They tried to overdose me at 2 milligrams three times a day. I knew it. I just took the limited amount. The amount that I had left over is what I left with, and I survived two more months, and I was getting off of them. It was over, you know, but I need them, but I'm going without. I'd rather go without and fight the case. However, they did try to overdose me, and they tried to get out of that. They got a letter to miss the case because I called for the hearing. Well, the judge seen it. So it shows right there they're trying to cover themselves. They're worried. There's a lot of people in Medicaid, and it's for all of Oklahoma. So,
hey, Brenda, did they give your husband a COVID test?
Call him back.
Did your husband try to give him a COVID test?
They gave him a COVID test. He got a staph infection and he got COB. Okay. He never got over it, but that's not why he died. And he didn't die where they had to resuscitate him. They put him to sleep. They literally injected him and put him to sleep with an end of life drug. And no, nobody's heard of this end of life drug too. This is what worries me. I mean, they used it, they said, just for comfort. And within that time, he was dead. They closed the door, went out, left me in the room by myself. That was it. They waited right by the door. Murdered my husband. That's what I see. They murdered my husband.
Why would they give
for the autopsy?
Why would they give him an end-of-life drug, though? That's what my question is.
Well, I think if they followed us through Medicaid into the state because we left our belongings and our home, they followed us to the state through our Medicaid. We got accepted for AETNA and for state aid and everything that we needed here. However, Medicaid came in. Once they got Medicaid involved, they started pulling his Medicaid. They couldn't cover it being in their home. They couldn't cover, you know, nothing. And they didn't want to pay for it. But it came back. Then they get pulled again. Then it came back. He was in a very bad home to begin with, which we didn't know. We didn't investigate it or nothing. And that was where they put him. The things that took place in this home when I was there and witnessed it for over 7 months was unreal. I seen him take people down with drugs and they died. And his roommates were, you know, I got interviews. I got a lot of things with this home. What they did is Fisher or the caseworker or Oklahoma, whoever did this, called this hospital and got them involved. I don't know if they offered them money because they're in desperate need of it or what they did. They did something and they did the same thing to CAMC, which is the Charleston Memorial Hospital. I think something was offered to take my husband off.
Hey, Brenda, do you know what the drug was called they gave him?
Pardon?
Do you know what the drug was called?
No, right now, this is what we're seeing. He's sitting in the morgue. We're waiting for the attorney generals and the investigation. They know he's laying in a morgue waiting to be autopsied. Number one, toxicology. They will find every and any drug that is in his body. For a certain amount of time that he was getting it, it'll all be there. We've got them. We witnessed him in private on the phone, giving him the drugs. My daughter spoke up. She said, "What are you giving my dad?" And she spoke up. They were giving him drugs. They were told not to, because I'm his medical power of attorney, also to represent him, an advocate. And they started to see they're going against my medical power attorney. My daughter stepped in. The woman would not say, however, I know faces, and there's a few nurses. They had me escorted off the property in West Virginia, which I'm not familiar, it's cold, into a snowstorm by the state police. So this all ties in that they wanted me out of there. They were drugging him. He'd go to ER. They'd save his life. They wanted me stopped sending him to the ER and let him die there. But the doctor there, I spoke to him, the nurse, they wanted to take him out. They want to keep drugging him and end his life. That's what they were doing. The trazodone and all the things that they gave him, the morphine and whatever they could, they ended his life eventually. He went to ER. It got over there. They fought me and I told him no. So they knew he had 6 months or more to live and they still did it. So they took my husband's life right in front of me. They did it. I didn't say anything right there because I don't trust them and they got needles and drug stuff. You know what I mean? They watching me.
Yes, I do. I know what you mean.
So it's kind of scary. I was in it. I don't know. I'm fighting a federal worker, somebody who's corrupt. And now these lawyers are telling me that they want me to do TV media and stuff. They want me to go to the news station. And they have media as well as the whistleblower case, which is only 80 days or less to this new thing that they're doing for whistleblowers. It's kind of scary. They too, you know. And so to go up against them with whistleblowers and go after them that way, expose them.
Well,
that's what I'm doing. I'm exposing them.
Yes, that and trying to go to the media.
Huh?
That and trying to go to the media. Go to the news.
Trying to go to the media.
Oh, yes? You are?
No, I mean, you should.
No, I'm going to be going, yes. This video that we're making right now is going back to the lawyers helping me. And then it's also going to different ones that they sent me, like 20 news stations. Washington Post was the first one.
That's good.
Their personal contacts, and I think they're really happy that they know that this is Medicaid fraud. I've showed them enough. They know I'm telling the truth. And I won the case. You know what I mean? Now it's getting them and not them retaliating against me doing something to me.
Yes.
My husband is a victim. I have no choice. I believe in justice.
That's good. Well, do you think we have enough here?
Do you think we have enough here?
I think we got enough here. I'm trying to think what that first piece of evidence was, a bill. I sent him a bill that started it to ask them if they seen Medicaid fraud there. That's when they showed me the whistleblower thing. 6 times on one paper. So I think we're done here. I think this is a good video. And what we have, you know what I mean? I'm exposing corruption. I'm exposing a dirty caseworker for the Department of Social Security Administration. And I do have a law judge, disability lawyers behind me. I'm looking for a lawyer who is aggressive to go after Kevin T. Fisher, Dr. David Chorley, the Oklahoma Health Authority, the caseworker, which is at the very bottom. I don't know her name yet. I will. And the Oklahoma Surgical Hospital, as well as associates and other doctors, and Beckley Health Care Center in Beckley, West Virginia, to Charleston DAMC Memorial Hospital, and the doctors involved and the people who are involved there. This is who we're after.
Well, hopefully we can get some fancy lawyer on the case.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Stephen.
You're very welcome.
We may be able to get a way to do this. I'm looking for someone. I'm hoping that the person decides you're going to do it, that I might have something else that you can help with regarding this case.
Uh-huh.
I'll contact you and let you know.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.